in his works of creation and in his providence, that every day the ordinary ways that we see God's will come to pass are in his creating and in his providence for his world, in his providing for us. So next week, we'll talk about God's providence, but today, we're going to talk about his creating. We're going to talk about creation. We're worshiping the Lord as our maker. And there are a lot of things we could talk about creation. How creation shows God's power and his wisdom and his goodness. How he created from nothing simply by the word of his power. He wanted providence to be this week, but it's... I'm sorry, pal. Or we can get sidetracked by a lot of the arguments among Christians about the age of the earth or about the length and sequence of the days of Genesis 1, and those are all worthwhile topics. But this morning, we're going to talk about how, after everything else was created, God made us in his image. This is the story of who we are and why we're here. This is the story of what and who we were created to be. This is where we learn that we have a built-in purpose and goal for our lives. That we're not simply set here as clean slates to create whatever kind of life and purpose we want, though there is a lot of freedom in choosing what we're going to do. But that we're here for a reason. That our Maker has set his mark on us. That he's given us a purpose and a reason for being. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Before we get ahead of ourselves, let's read from Genesis chapter 1. I want to read all of the account of the creation of the sixth day in Genesis chapter 1, but we're going to be focusing in particular on verses 26 and 27 in Genesis chapter 1. But we're going to start at verse 24. Genesis 1, starting at verse 24. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, deep down, we know that we're here for a reason. Deep down, we know that we don't lack any kind of purpose. We know that our lives don't lack meaning, but that we're here for a reason, and it seems, apart from you, we are endlessly searching for it and filling in our own conclusions. And so we pray this morning that you will open your word to us. Speak your truth through your words that you give to us. Remind us and tell us who we are, why we're here, what our purpose is, what our goal is. And help us not to push back against your stamp on us as our maker, not to chafe against your lordship and your direction, but to embrace that we are your creatures, here according to your will, here for your glory. So help us to embrace your truth from your word this morning, and to live as your creatures, to put our faith in you as our maker, to hear your voice, to believe, to follow and obey. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So a couple things this morning. First, how we're made, how we are made. In the beginning, God creates everything. Everything in heaven and on earth, everything visible and invisible, out of nothing. Where there was only emptiness, nothing but God Himself, He speaks into existence everything that is. And He gives order to His creation, light and darkness, day and night, the heavens and the earth, land and sea, plants and their fruit and their seed, sun and moon, birds and fish, animals, livestock and beasts and creeping things. And it was all good. And then as His last act of creation, He makes mankind. And human beings alone, among everything that's made in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, among everything that is made, where God gives His stamp of approval on all of it and calls it good, human beings alone among all of creation are said to be made in the image of God. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. No other creature is made in God's likeness. No other creature in all of creation is said to bear the image of God. All things have value because they're made by their Creator. Everything that lives is important because it receives its life from God, the source of all life. And yet even the birds and fish and all other animals aren't made in God's image. That's only true of human beings. That's only true of you and me and our neighbors. Only men and women are made in the image and likeness of God. Human beings are the pinnacle of all of God's creation. As amazing and awe-inspiring as they are, you are more important to Him than the Rocky Mountains or the Grand Canyon. More important to Him than any of the most majestic or mysterious creatures on earth. Eagles and whale sharks and Komodo dragons, and I guess just those three. But every created thing on earth brings God pleasure and glory simply because He made them. But it is especially true of you because you are made in God's image. So what does that mean? We'll talk about how in a minute, but the Bible seems to suggest that we're meant to reflect and imitate the glory of God. kings in the ancient world, emperors in the ancient world, would set up little pillars, little likenesses of themselves all throughout their territory, expanding into all of their colonies and everywhere where they held power. Little statues that were meant to be reminders of who is in charge. Okay? It was meant to expand and pronounce their importance and their power and their rule. And so God makes his images and he sets them everywhere in this world where he's in charge. And so his images are spread out over the entire world. They start in one place, but they make their way over the entire world. And they're meant to remind who's in charge and what he's like. We're meant to live out his character and his attributes, his love and his goodness and his truthfulness, and so on and so forth. But the Bible hints at least three sort of concrete ways that we're meant to bear the image of God. There are others, and it's not just limited to this, but there are three places where our being made or remade in the image of God is mentioned, and certain things about us and God are talked about in connection with it, okay? So I just want to mention those three places for special mention about what it means for us that we're made in the image of God. Right here in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 26, which we've already read, God decides to make humanity in his image. And then he says, he'll let us have dominion over the other creatures of the earth. Okay? Again, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Which means that our dominion over creation, or our stewardship and shaping of the world around us, including our taking care of and using the animals that God has put into his creation, are a part of our bearing the image of God. When we care for God's creatures and then make use of them to provide for ourselves or for others, we are bearing the image of God. When we ride horses and milk cows and butcher pigs for bacon, we're bearing the image of God. And I think that bears repeating because, culturally anyway, more and more we're being told that our use of the creation in order to provide for human beings is a part of the problem. That we ought to have as little impact on the other creatures around us as possible. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with talking about ways to be more efficient and careful in the way that we do that and all of that. But our use of wood to make our houses, our use of animals and plants to feed our families, okay, that's not doing violence to God's creation. That's using it for the purpose for which it was given. Okay? All right. So we're made in God's image, and Genesis 1 explicitly mentions that part of that is our taking dominion of God's creation. Okay, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. Colossians 3, verse 10. And put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Okay, so this is a whole passage where Paul is talking about putting off our old self with its sin and with its sort of self-centered nature, and and putting on the new self, which he says is being renewed after the image of its creator. And he specifically mentions being renewed in our knowledge after the image of our creator. Okay, so Genesis 1 explicitly mentions our being made in the image of God and dominion. Colossians 3 explicitly mentions our being made in the image of our creator and knowledge. When we learn more about God and his world, and when we study and come to know his word, and when we see the ways that God is at work in the world around us and in us, and as we grow in our ability to apply God's truth to our lives, we are bearing the image of God. And again, I'll mention this just in passing, just to say that this is one of the areas where we, historically anyway, as Reformed and Presbyterian Christians, we've tended to major on this one, okay? That a lot of our discipleship in our tradition has had to do with learning things, increasing our knowledge, okay? And it's true, I think, in some ways, that we have overemphasized that as a means of discipleship, maybe by minimizing some of the others, okay? So we might hide and cherish our sin, but we've read every book that there is on the mortification of sin and on the religious affections, right? We might not really do love of neighbor, but we've definitely read all the books on it, right? Okay, so because of the fact that we've maybe tended to overemphasize that a little bit, I think there's a little bit of a move away from that now, where we'll speak very disparagingly of study in general, as sort of thinking that we're just brains without bodies, right? We're disembodied brains, we want to be robots, we just want to download all the information into our brain and not do much with it. But I don't want us to do away with the good in maybe correcting some of the imbalance in the way that we've done our discipleship, okay? It is true that learning about God, coming to know his word, reading the good works of encouragement and theology from Christians that have come before us, this is a part of your bearing the image of God, okay? So in correcting some of the ways that we've been maybe a little bit heavy in some places and light in the others, don't do away with the stuff that we've been heavy on. Just move it into proper proportion, okay? But it is important to learn and grow in your knowledge of the Lord. It is important to read his word. It is important to study, to get together with other Christians and talk about it. Learn from those who have spent more time learning about it. Learn from those who have gone before us and done some of the stuff that we're wondering about and learning about now. Okay. Dominion, knowledge. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 24. And put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. So in Ephesians 4, again, Paul talks about putting off our old self with its sin and with its self-centeredness, putting on the new self, which is made alive in Christ, which is being created after the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. Okay, when we obey God and follow him in the way that we live, we are bearing the image of God. That's not to say that this list of three things is exhaustive. It's not. It's undoubtedly true that we image God in our creativity and compassion and forgiveness and in many other ways. But the Bible mentions these three explicitly. And so I think it's important for us to sort of put them, if not the only things that are true, to sort of put them at the front of, of what we're talking about when we say that we are made in God's image. We're made in the image of God. Every single person, male and female, all human life is sacred. And as one writer put it, this is a doctrine which has implications for the way in which we live, as James notes in his epistle. It speaks today for those who would end the lives of unborn children, avoid the company of people from another race, argue for the superiority of one gender over another, or care about chimps more than children. It's the end of his quote. That's not to say that the rest of God's creation lacks value. It doesn't. That's not to say that caring for God's creation isn't important. It is. We're set here as stewards. And yet we're also set here as those made in God's image, as those given dominion over his creation, as those made to learn about him and to know him, as those made to live as he lives, to reflect his goodness and his love, to listen to and obey him. That's how we're made. That's how we were made in the beginning. So let's talk about how we're remade. Because, and I don't know how controversial it is to say this, but we don't exactly live up to that created purpose, right? And we're going to talk about sin and punishment in a couple of months or so. But in short, we fall far short of our created purpose. We're not holy like God is holy. We're sinful. We love, but we're also selfish. We may exercise some dominion, but we're also wasteful and negligent. We're not what and who we were made to be, but Jesus was. And when we believe in him, when we believe that Jesus came and lived perfectly in the image of God in ways that we don't, when we believe that his death on the cross wasn't simply an accident of history, but a part of his plan to provide an atoning sacrifice for the sins of everyone who believes in him, and that he rose again from the dead in order to defeat death so that it might be destroyed one day, in order to show that there is life on the other side of death and to give that same life to all of those who believe. When we put our faith in Jesus, that he did all of that and that he did it for me, we're forgiven for our sins because of his death on the cross. And he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And part of what the Holy Spirit does in us and for us is a work of internal change to remake us in the image of God, and now specifically in the image of Jesus. Romans 8:29 says that those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. You see, one of the worst parts about sin, I mean, there are so many of them, but one of the really terrible things about sin is that it does damage to us. It corrupts us. It moves us away from what we were made for, away from our calling and our purpose, to be image bearers of God in this world, to give him glory through it. Because of it, we fail to do what we were made for, and we're even unable to do it on our own. But the truth about Jesus, the truth about what we have through the cross, the truth about what we have through the Holy Spirit living inside of everyone who believes, is that God's grace restores nature. That we were made to be a particular way, we were made for a particular purpose, to bear God's image faithfully and give him glory, and that's corrupted and broken by the fall. God's grace forgives us for it through Jesus and through the work of the Holy Spirit. He's working in us to restore us to what we were originally made for. Grace works in us through the Holy Spirit to bring us back to our God-intended purpose, to bear the image of God faithfully. And you can only do that through Jesus. Where we've walked away from the holiness and righteousness we were made for, Jesus clothes us in his righteousness by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Jesus to be sin for us, even though he knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus restores you to what you were supposed to be first by covering over all of your sin, by giving you the righteousness that you were made for in the first place. Because we can't come up with it on our own, so he gives it to us. He offers his life as a sacrifice, and he takes all of his perfect righteousness, all of his bearing the image of God perfectly and faithfully, and gives it to us as if we'd done it ourselves. And then he goes to work in you to actually, truly, in your life, make you more like him. Because Jesus is the perfect image bearer of God. He is God in human likeness. He is the exact imprint of God's nature, as Hebrews 1 says. So here's the upshot of all of this. The upshot is that we've messed up what we were made for. But Jesus covers us. He is exactly what we were made for. And all of his goodness and obedience and perfection and love he gives to us by faith so that we stand before God covered in it. And if we want to move back toward what we were made for, if we believe in Jesus, we should, then Jesus does that too. He shows us love and service and patience and truth-telling and bearing the image of God, and he gives you the Holy Spirit to work in you too to become more like him. We were made in the image of God. That was broken and distorted and corrupted by sin, by the fall. And we are remade in the image of God, in the perfect image of God in human form, which is Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. You were always meant to give glory to God. That's who you are. That's what you're here for. That's your purpose. That's your goal. And the only way you can do that is through Jesus. Through his work on your behalf as the true and greatest image bearer of God, and through his work in you to make you more like him. Each step you take toward his love for God, his love for neighbor, his service of others, his giving up of self to benefit another, all of that through the help of the Holy Spirit within you, that is being conformed to the image of Jesus. That is being what and who you were made to be. Your faith in Jesus, your love for God and others, that is you fulfilling your purpose. Because Jesus does it for you and then Jesus works it in you. That is you being most fully human. Because sin takes us away from what we were made for. It promises us pleasure and growth. It promises that it'll make us better than what we already are. But really, it just makes us subhuman. It just takes us lower than what we were made for. Sin corrupts nature, but grace restores nature. And all of that is being conformed to the image of Jesus, the one true, perfect image bearer of God. That's being remade in the image of God, and that's who you are and why you're here. Let's pray. Father, we confess the corruption of our sin. And we confess that we have wandered away on our own from what we were made for. Thank you that you give us Jesus Christ, who covers us in his perfect righteousness, so that through him we have everything that we need to be called yours. And thank you that you go to work in us to remake us in the image of Jesus, to restore us to what we were made to be, to restore to us the love, the dominion, the knowledge, the righteousness and holiness that were originally ours, which we have wandered away from. Thank you that your grace restores us to who we were made to be, makes us more fully human. So we pray that we won't grow weary in this, that we will always trust Jesus as our Savior, that we will always know that we are covered in your perfect righteousness, and that we won't hear the words of the accuser who wants to remind us of all of the things that we've done wrong, of all of the ways that we've messed up, to tell us that we are not worthy and how we could possibly ever be a child of God. Thank you for Jesus Christ and that we are always covered in his perfect righteousness so that those words are lies. And that we won't grow weary in learning to love you and learning about you, in loving others, in serving our neighbors selflessly. For this is who you made us to be. Help us to find contentment as your creatures, seeking to bring you glory, being remade in the image of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We're coming to the Lord's table together this morning. We're going to prepare to do that standing and singing the first three verses of